Good morning. Here we are at 88.5 KRFY. It's the morning show with Jack and Jim on a Thursday morning, a little bit chilly Thursday morning, February the 7th.
The first Thursday of February? It's the first Thursday of February.
Okay.
January's gone. It's past tense.
Good math. It is the first Thursday of February.
And it's cold. Single digits. Or has it moved into double digits?
According to the National Weather Service, we're up to 10.
Go away. Mm-hmm. Ooh, put on the sunscreen.
Yeah. I can go right into that weather forecast since we're talking about it.
Please do, and then I'll do my usual forecast.
A high of 25 degrees today, partly sunny. A chance of snow tonight, about 50% chance of snow with a low down to a mere 18 degrees. So that's not too bad. Tomorrow,
heat wave.
Snow, 90% chance of snow and a high of 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Tomorrow on Friday night, getting cold down to 10 degrees again. And then on Saturday, the high is only 16. Snow is likely on Friday night and Saturday. And we've got some wind coming in as well. So it's going to be blowing around, low visibility, bad driving, that kind of thing. Low of 5 degrees on Saturday night. 30% chance of snow on Sunday with a high of 16, 20 degrees on Monday. So
it's just
a cold, kind of snowy time, but it's, you know, it's been mostly blue sky as far as I can tell.
It's about time that we got caught up with the rest of the country, because they certainly had their chill factor last week.
I have, from the National Weather Service, a winter storm watch.
Ooh, what am I going to be watching, Jack?
Significant snow and blowing snow event.
Go away.
Yes, a blowing snow event Friday night into Saturday night. Bands of moderate to heavy snow are expected Friday night into Saturday. Snow will be followed by an increasing north or northeast wind Saturday into Saturday night. Blowing and drifting snow will have the potential to reduce visibilities and cause some roads to become impassable. This includes our area. Now, separate, distinct, but related to the winter storm watch is a hazardous weather outlook.
So we have an event.
We have an event.
Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is an occurrence.
And a watch.
Yes. Watch. Okay.
Okay. Jeez. The hazardous weather outlook is for portions of North Idaho, Central Washington, East Central Washington, North Central Washington, and Northeast Washington. Days 2 through 7, not counting, so today and tonight it would be day 1.
Seven. Okay.
Days 2 through 7, again, that bands of heavy snow causing a increasing north or northeast wind on Saturday will heighten the potential for blowing and drifting snow. Much below average temperatures will linger, likely, through much of next week.
Okay, so we start off with a watch and then an outlook and then an event, or I think I got the event should go before the outlook.
Yes.
I'm sort of confused, but I do have the weather forecast for Washington, D.C. area, as I do every week.
Bring it on.
Well, the marvel of technology. My sister and brother-in-law live in Arlington, Virginia, and they have Alexa, and they say every morning, Thursday morning at this time, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and we are on the air. In other words, you can listen to us no matter where you are. Like, for example, one of our guests this morning, Kate McAllister, she might be on the Camino in the fall, and she could take us with her on the Camino in northern Spain. Yeah, you're not on yet. We didn't, you know, I mean, you're not. Anyway, the forecast in Washington, D.C. area is 47 now, high of 58 today, mostly cloudy. So that sounds like livable weather.
Very livable.
Absolutely.
That's not so bad.
Jack, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Didn't. The Superb Owl.
Pardon?
No, because I don't know. For a long time, in continuing, you're not supposed to say the word Super Bowl to imply some sort of relationship. But we are a news program, so we can say, I mean, technically,
okay,
we're news and current events. You can comment on the fact that it happened.
I didn't either, since neither my Seattle Seahawks nor Chicago Bears were there. I went to a movie, and that's why. But speaking of people, we've got a full house here, don't we?
We do. We're fully loaded. We're packed to the gills here. Ready? In the studio right now.
You say one, I'll say the other.
Okay. Becky Rivak.
I've got Kate McAllister.
I've got Maddie Elliott.
I have Liz Eha.
And they are the cast and director of Drinking Habits, a play by Tom Smith at the Panada February 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. The 17th is a matinee. All other showtimes, 7
o'clock. So let's start with Becky. Becky as the director. Tell us a little bit about the play and why the play was selected, and give us a little bit of background.
All right. Well, the play was something that Patricia, our ED at the Panada, has been looking for, and she wanted it a comedy. She wanted it to fit criteria for certain people that could come up and stand up in it and bring people into the Panada, help us bring people into that Panada. And so she, as we were flipping through a bunch of different plays, I you know, we both kind of rested on this one, and we just thought it was like perfect. It was funny, it was goofy, it's physically comedic, and we have a heck of a cast that pulls off some great comedy, and just not just verbally but also physically, and they're really talented that way. And when we found this play, we decided to go ahead and go with it. We asked a couple people, they said yes, they would love to do it, and then we held auditions in December, and I went for that after that. And really, mostly, the guy who wrote it has won a Pickering Award, which is Award for Excellence in Playwrights. So that's kind of fun that we could add, you know, that was a helpful little tidbit to add to advertising with it. And really, that's kind of all. And we just ended up in our auditions with an awesome cast. And I can't say any more about them, that they are fantastic to work with. They are easily, I mean, to direct them is so much fun, because I say, hey, let's stop here and go back and do that and do this instead. And they go, okay. And they do it, and they can do it. That's the that's the key. They can do it. And it's so fun working with that talented of a cast.
I'm sure that makes a difference. Let me read a brief synopsis of the play so that listeners can have an idea of what Drinking Habits is about. According to the synopsis, accusation, mistaken identities, and romances run wild in this traditional laugh-out-loud farce. Two nuns at the Sisters of Perpetual Sewing have been secretly making wine to keep the convent's doors open. But Paul and Sally, reporters and former fiancés, are hot on their trail. They go undercover as a nun and a priest, but their presence, combined with the addition of a new nun, spurs paranoia throughout the convent that spies have been sent from Rome and the Pope to shut them down. Wine and secrets are inevitably spilled as everyone tries to preserve the convent and reconnect with lost loves. Lost loves?
That sums it up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. I didn't write it and whatever. you know, I mean, one of the things I need to know, I take it there will be wine in the play. Is that real wine or what is it?
Well, on the stage, no, they're not allowed. But that's one of the things that's been really wonderful. Both Ponderay Winery has stepped up and is one of our main sponsors, and they're providing the wine and the and all of the empty bottles that we do have. And then also, like always, McDuff's is one of our big sponsors for this, too. So.
Great. Okay, let's start with Kate McAllister, Mother Superior.
Oh, yes.
Why were you born for this role?
You know, I really don't know. Oh, wait, all those years of Catholic school, right? And getting my knuckles wrapped and the hair on my head pulled because I'm too social. Yeah, that.
Well, I got that because I was male. I wasn't. You know, tell me, what order of nuns in your Catholic grade school?
I had one nun that was a Benedictine, and then the rest were, I think they were Jesuit. They were.
We have Sisters of St. Joseph.
Ah.
Yeah, I could go right down the line. Sister Rosella, Sister John Marie, Sister Floretta, Sister Gabriel, right. Sister Lucina, Sister Agnes, Sister Julia, and then Sister Alma.
Oh, I loved Sister Gertrude, Sister Beatrice, and my favorite was Sister Michael. It was the first time I heard a woman with a male's name. I'm like, oh.
An archangel.
Right.
Ooh,
yes.
You better
she
believe it.
She was mean as crap.
Oh, dear. And are you mean as crap?
Yes. Well, Only to one nun in the play. Only to Sister Philomena, because she's really annoying. It's really funny.
Is that you, Maddie? Or no. Matt? No, who's
no, I'm Sister Augusta. Sister Philomena is played by Amy Sherman.
Okay.
And she's
okay.
Amazing. Yeah.
Sister
she's
Philomena really was a nun that I did not have at our St. Matthew's grade school. So that's how I know Sister Philomena. But so tell me about your character.
Well, she had a very cataclysmic life event that led her to be a nun, and you find out about that in the play. And she's just kind of, you know, stern and frustrated, and she really does not like alcohol. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, right.
Right. No, she doesn't. Yeah, right. She's yeah, in the play. Right.
Got it.
No one will see my flask.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she's just she just gets frustrated with the two other nuns, and so many things are happening, and she's getting confused, and I think, you know, the priest, because as we know, nuns were very, you know, subservient to the priest, but she kind of gets a little frustrated with Father Chenille as well. So
Chenille?
Yes, as in Beth Brett's.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun, and it's really, it's going to be a miracle if we make it through without laughing, because we can't get through rehearsal. Last night, I don't know how we got through anything, because it's really, and Becky is such a great director. I mean, the little things, like when she says, hey, just do this. She did one to Maddie and I the other night, and I couldn't stop laughing. It was like, okay, stop. We've got to stop laughing. So it's really family friendly. It's really, really funny. Well, and the cast is amazing.
Well, that's a good indicator, isn't it? If the cast is having a ball,
oh,
then there's a good chance that the audience will as well.
Yes.
True.
Maddie, who are you?
I play Sister Augusta. So I am...
Augusta.
Augusta.
Is there a Saint Augusta?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Like Saint Augusta, Georgia.
Very much so.
But so she is sort of... So there's the Mother Superior and the two kind of nuns that start out. There are a couple more that come in after the beginning, but just the three of us that kind of run the convent and everything on our own. And so Augusta and Philomena are the ones who are making mischief behind Mother Superior's back, and I'm pretty much like the ringleader of that. Like, I'm the bossy older sister who's like, we're doing this, and she's like, but I don't want to, and she's very kind of meek and subservient, but she kind of goes along with everything, and I'm the one who's kind of maneuvering everybody.
Liz Iha, you play a novice.
Yes, I do. I play a novice disguised as a nun, having come to the Sisters of Perpetual Sewing Convent because I'm so skilled at sewing. Side note,
irony.
I'm really not. I play Sister Mary Catherine, and I'm part of that lost love story. I won't give too much away, but it's really, really fun. I know you guys said it, but we laugh a lot, and I'm having a blast being back on the stage again. I went to school for acting, and I've been away from it for almost a decade. And
so this is your first go-round?
This is my first go-round, back in the saddle again, and I'm just so excited to be on stage with this amazing, amazing cast and laughing as much as we are. It's a wonderful play. It really
now,
is.
Now, have you had a dress rehearsal yet?
Not yet.
Not until next Wednesday. Don't rush it.
Oh, you,
calm down.
Your habit isn't ready, huh?
Well, the costume is, I suppose.
So the first show's on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll get a good turnout on Valentine's Day? Is it a romantic play? I mean, there is romance.
Oh, of course, it's a romantic play. Uh-huh. It's funny. It makes you sad. It makes you happy. It's romantic.
And it's got wine.
And it's got wine, yeah.
Hello.
And actually, on Valentine's Day, for the couples, well, and even for those singles who are looking for coupling, we have chocolate as you come in.
Whoa, whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Wait.
This is a PG radio station, Becky.
Well, it depends on how you took that.
Okay. Kate.
Did those nuns teach you nothing? Come on.
Everything.
So on Valentine's Day is opening night, and we will be giving little chocolates away to people as they come through the door. So that's just kind of a little incentive. I know everybody just is in need of more chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Have you seen, Becky, you're the director. Have you seen anybody else perform this play before? Did you watch it and take notes?
Or? Well, I'll tell you, I'm very anti that because mm-hmm. I want it to be ours. So every once in a while, some people who are helping me out go, oh, you should watch this da 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 da, and they'll be talking about something that they did. And I'll go, if it is for physicality and it helps me get through something like that, I'll watch it. But no, I really didn't watch a lot of it, but I did see some pieces just for to see how they got through a physical piece of comedy.
Movement, they move on the stage and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And because there is a lot of timing. It's all about timing throughout this whole play. People come in, people come off, and it's about missing each other in all of the action. And so there's a couple places where I watched what they did, but we're actually doing it quite a bit different than anything I saw. So it was great because what I had in my head was different different enough that I went, okay, thanks. I don't think that helps me to see what somebody else did. I read the book, and the writer actually writes in what he thinks should be or she thinks should be happening. And so I tried to follow that as close as I could, and then I would add extra little things on it to just make it more funny.
Yeah. Do you know how old is the play?
I think he only wrote it in like 13, okay. Maybe 12.
Pretty, so pretty
yeah,
new
it's
play.
pretty mm-hmm. new, yeah.
But it's been already performed a number of times.
It has.
You said you.
It is, yeah. Okay. It's supposed to be set in like the early 60s, late 50s, something like that. But mm-hmm. You can use your imagination
it's
on that.
It's timeless.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would say that. It's, yeah, especially because of the humor. Maybe some of the sayings that are, put out in it would not necessarily be timeless, but because some of the people are kind of those type of hokey people to begin mm-hmm. with, it fits. It works, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How many people are in the play? We have three of the performers here.
Eight, yeah.
Okay, so we have 3/8 of the class, of the cast. That's about 40%. Hovering around.
Wow, that's math.
The nuns taught me higher math. Becky, I'd like to ask you about, you have a play, and let's say, are you allowed at all to delete dialogue?
No.
Are you allowed to add?
No.
Like to make it the humor local, like a joke about Sandpoint that
no.
might fit in?
No, I would have to call the author and ask him, the playwright. I'd have to call Tom Smith and say, we want to make this local. Can I do that? I would have to call him and ask him.
Okay, so are there any, I know very little about, the obligation to the script. Are there any other, rules besides not changing, not deleting, not adding?
No, you just have to follow this. But the dialogue is the main thing. You really have to follow the dialogue by the book. You can, because of the ability of the stage you're on, he might have written, you need to do this, then this. But if you can't physically do that on your stage, then you don't have to do that.
You can ignore the stage directions.
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask Kate, who is she channeling when she does Mother Superior?
I believe Sister Gertrude, because she was...
You mentioned her before. Tell us a little bit about Sister Gertrude.
She was like a military general. She really was. And then she was also the very first nun that embraced when they went from the old habits to the shorter ones. And so I was really quite surprised she had hair. Because, they wore the wimple with
my
the,
nuns,
right?
My nuns did not have hair.
Right. Right. I always thought that they put a stick pin in their head to make the veil stay on. But, yeah, it was crazy. So when I saw her, I was like, she's like a real person. She has hair. And she was stern, but yet she was, you know, I remember because I don't know, I just liked her. She kind of, she was a nice person. She taught English.
So are these modern nuns or are they in full habit where...
I'm in full habit.
Do you have the head guard? I don't know what they call
the veil, the wimple and the veil.
The veil and everything like that on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your hair is hid.
Yes.
Okay, how about you, Maddie?
We do have like habit costumes, mm-hmm. but they're not as elaborate as Mother Superior's, but they definitely like convey nunness.
Yeah. They're nunly.
Does she acquired her habit yet or is it still...
Right. Good question.
Fledgling.
I don't know that a novice would normally be in the same habit, but since she is disguised as a full nun, then she is in the same costume as we are because she's like posing as someone who has become to be a member of our convent. So she's in the same.
And I do say that I've replaced my novice whites with this gown and it feels sacrilege to me to do it before I've taken my vows. But yes, I am in the full dress as well. And we all share the same cross. Oh, which is neat.
Well, I find Mary Catherine to be such a nun name. Right? Sister Mary Catherine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quintessential.
So a novice is intending to be a nun, but has not taken the official vows.
Correct.
Yet.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
In training. Mm-hmm. Right.
Nun in training.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'd be sort of curious, you know, with the fascination with nuns. You think of Sister Act, you think of Nun Sense, you think of why, you know, I'm just throwing this out there, why culturally, you know, are certain segments of our society interested in nuns?
You know, I think for me, I think it's the fascination and the physical, you know, when you see a nun that's someone completely dedicated to God. So just seeing like a uniform. And I think, you know, they've always been teachers or nurses. And so I think the fascination of how someone could so totally, mm-hmm. you know, give themselves and have to be ruled by, you know, priests. And so I think it's, you know, it's from a time gone by, and I don't know, as for me in Catholicism, the thing that I always liked the most was the ritual of it, the whole moving through the ritual of everything. And so I think there just is a fascination because it's like, why would you do that?
I think also possibly, at least for me, is like there's sort of an interest in the fact that it's like, in spite of the fact that these people live very different lives and they, you know, have dedicated their life to something so big and everything, seeing how they still are like everybody else or still human or still relate to people. Like we watched Sister Act. I watched it with my son. I got it from the library and watched it with my 10-year-old because I remembered like loving that movie when I was younger and he loved it too. And like watching that and kind of seeing like the Mother Superior in that, how she, you know, is very stern and very strict up front, but she, you know, very much cares about the convent and the neighborhood, and she wants to kind of, she wants to reach out to people mm-hmm. and stuff, but maybe is not sure how to, but kind of watching the story arcs of them learn to work together and how they, you know, they joke and they, you know, are human still, in spite of the fact that they're very solemn and all of these things.
My nuns like, were not human.
Yeah, right?
No, what I think of as a child in grade school, nuns were like in a different stratosphere. I mean, we heard rumors that on weekends they would roller skate down the halls of school. You know, I mean, they wouldn't dare do it outside because that would show that they were having too much fun. But, you know, someone saw Sister Rose Marie's A Wisp of Her Hair that snuck. Wow, did that pass around the grade school? Like, you know, I mean, it was sort of like they were from another galaxy, they were closer to God than we were, and and that was important. But I don't know if we ever laughed.
Well, I was just going to add to that. So I did not go to a Catholic school, but I've grown up Catholic my whole life. And one of the big things when we were kids is that the nuns were coming for the summer. So we had a summer camp, and the nuns
were coming.
And they would run our whole summer catechism camps in the summer in this little town I grew up. And it was, I just remember being a kid and going, oh, the nuns are coming. The nuns are coming.
The nuns are coming.
and it was all fun. They would all come with their guitars and they'd play the song, the songs. And we got taught all these different little things all summer long. It was camp, you know, instead of like going to summer camp at a lake, we went to summer camp with the nuns. And it was a big deal because it was learning all kind. We learned sign language and how to speak different languages and everything was, they were very cool nuns when we were around them. Yeah.
The very first movie I ever saw was The Singing Nun.
Oh, right.
Dominique.
Dominique, I will sing Dominique and then, the service to the Lord.
Oh, dear.
I didn't know we should have done a musical.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on this. That was one of the last number one songs before the Beatles hit the United States.
Yeah.
Mine was The Nun Story with Audrey Hepburn.
Yes.
Mid-50s, yeah. I think. Let's take a music break. And we're here with cast and director Becky Rivak, Maddie Elliott, Kate McAllister, and Liz Iha with Drinking Habits that starts on Valentine's Day at the Panada. It was on this date. We're going to take a music break, regroup, tell you how to get tickets, and do some more nun talk. It was on this date 60 years ago today that Buddy Holly was buried in Lubbock, Texas. He died in a plane crash after leaving Clear Lake on his way to Fargo and then going to end up in Moorhead. But here's one of the classic Buddy Holly songs, That'll Be the Day. The Crickets with Buddy Holly, That'll Be the Day. It was on this day, February 7th in 1959, that Buddy Holly was buried, I think, Tabernacle Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. And I remember, I was old enough to remember that plane crash and Big Bopper and Richie Valens and Waylon Jennings.
Right, didn't get on the plane.
Did not get on the plane.
He
gave his seat to the Big Bopper because Big Bopper was having some flu. It was wintertime, and the bus was not heated as well as it should have been. So just by quirk. We are here talking about Drinking Habits that's going to be at the Panada Theater next Thursday, the 14th, and then the 15th, Friday, 16th, Saturday, and Sunday, the 17th at 7 o'clock. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and at 3:30 on Sunday. And we are here with the director, Becky Rivak. Becky, where can one get tickets?
So if you want to get tickets for that early, Eve's Leaves is selling them. And then we also have tickets online at www.panada.org. Those are the two places. And then obviously at the door. And it is $15 for adults, $13 for seniors, and $10 for youth 12 and under.
And this is a family play?
It is a family play, very much so. That's one of the things that we're trying to do when we do our plays is make it family friendly so we have people able to come and bring their kids and get them used to seeing, you know, live theater. Like I said, we talked about this, Jim, you and I did before. There was kind of a break in it going on here for a while, and we're working really hard at the Panada to try to bring live theater back, and this is another one of those family-friendly bringing live theater back.
So where are you right now, a week out, in rehearsals, and are you where you want to be? Oh, dear, somebody please pick Becky up off the floor.
Personally, I think for where we are at this stage in things, we're doing excellent.
Well, that's right. Maddie Elliott, you've been a director of a play. So you are where you should be a week out.
I think we're doing really well. Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of shows where, you know, we have production week that we typically call by a different name that is still things very much coming together and not necessarily together yet and things like that. And you know, we still have some work to do. There's obviously like some set stuff that we're still working on. And, you know, we're still kind of figuring out the fine tuning and stuff. But honestly, I think that, like I said, for where we're at now, a week before opening night, like, I think we're in pretty good shape.
So somebody's looking at this from the outside, like myself. How long have you been rehearsing? I mean, you begin with, don't you, by just reading the script and around.
Right.
What's the process?
We had our auditions. I remember because it was my birthday, the 10th Happy and the 11th of December.
Sagittarian.
Yeah.
Yo, baby.
And so we started rehearsing, I think.
Right away. The break.
Yeah, once you like had the cast figured out and stuff, I think it was the next week that we did a read through, and then it was the holidays, and so obviously we skipped that one, but then we've been rehearsing 2 to 3 days a week since then.
So when you say you've been rehearsing 2 to 3 days, what does that mean, Liz?
The rehearsing is the blocking of it. And I was going to say to your question earlier, Jim, that we do start with a read through where just the actors, director, everyone sits around a table and reads through the script and tries to get a good idea of what's going on. And then we go through all the blocking.
What does blocking mean to somebody who might not know?
Sure. Good question. So when you're on stage and say the actors are on stage, so direction wise, there's stage left and stage right for actors.
Is that from the audience or is that from looking?
That's audience. Is actually called house.
Okay,
so it'd be house right and house left. So if you're on the stage, that's stage left, stage right.
Okay. I mean, I'm a rookie. So
she's getting very technical. My goodness.
Okay.
Well, it was like I was going with that direction to try to know what blocking is, and so
okay.
And
it's the movement, like where you
right,
like
movement,
where you enter and
where
exit,
you end up,
where
and
you
so
walk
be-
forward,
Becky
backward.
Is the one who controls that.
Yes.
Ultimately, yes.
Okay.
Where you move while you're speaking, while you're interacting with your fellow mates up there on stage. And that all has to get done. And it's been really intense because of how physical it is. Like Becky mentioned
earlier. There's a lot of movement.
There's a lot of movement and a lot of exits and entrances and things of that nature.
So the nature of a farce is that, you know, it's that physical comedy.
Shuffle people moving in and out.
Yeah. Entrances and exits and... People
a
kind of a whole lot of mix up and yeah.
So at what point in time do you have to know your lines without the script?
That depends on the show and the director and a few other elements, I think. But we were off book technically a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so that's called off book.
Off book. Yeah.
Cool.
So when we start rehearsals, you know, usually at least this time we went through just the script a handful of times, reading lines together and stuff. And then because of the fact that there's so much physicality with it, the sooner you can get your script out of your hands and be saying your lines and stuff, the easier it is to really start working on the blocking and the movement and stuff. And so we tried to be off book a little earlier with this one probably than maybe some others, just because it really was important to be able to put our scripts down and run back and forth
without
and
running into each other.
Yes. Not crash into everybody.
How often do you guys meet, leading up to the play? How many rehearsals do you have left and how many?
Typically about 3 days a week.
Yeah. Okay.
So this coming
Quite
week?
Mm. Well, all week. This coming week will be all week, Monday through, because we
and
have Monday, Tuesday,
when
Wednesday.
When do you have
and
the dress rehearsal?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. And then Thursday you're on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you, from a director's point of view, how do you like 4 days in a row, bam, 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 as opposed to 2 days and then a week and another weekend?
Well, when we do these 4 days in a row, it's not just about the acting anymore. It's their technical rehearsals also. So we have the lighting guy in there. We have the sound guy in there. You know, so because we have background music that's going to be playing while they're doing their in and outs. And there's also going to be music playing, you know, certain we have like breaking glass sounds and things, you know. So there's a lot of cues that are going to have to come together now. And so all of these next few rehearsals are not just the acting, but also with all of the cues that go along with it.
Are there many stage settings or is it essentially the same one?
No, it's very minimal. It's like right up my alley. It's just literally one set piece in the middle where the Sisters of Perpetual Sewing do their craft. And that's really it. Everything's worked around. There's like maybe one more big set piece that's going to come in and out. There's some props that are being used, but that's about it really as far as the set goes. One thing that's nice is one of the things that Maddie mentioned is these guys have been really great about getting off book early for me because That's why we it is so physical. I didn't want them carrying around something, looking at their lines all the
while
time.
While they have to move.
Yeah, because it's very physical, and so it worked out really good that way. You asked one other question too.
I just wanted to say about the set, like you say, like, oh, it's so simple and everything. This is a really elaborate set. Have you seen a Chris Herron play?
This is fancy.
Well, okay, it's not just a couch, you're right. So, but one of the things I think that's really nice is that everybody was really good and accommodating about getting off book right away, as soon as they could anyway. And it's nice having people come in out of the woodwork and say, well, I'll just sit in the audience and help, And so, like, I have every time I've had somebody, for the most part, come in and be on book for the actors, so they can just, if they are, and I have somebody that can bring back their line for them. So it's really been helpful to me that way, that I just have people just really graciously coming and hanging out and helping me out.
Okay. We are been here in the studio with Sister Mary Catherine, Sister Philomena.
Sister Augusta.
Oh, Sister Augusta. Where did I get Philomena?
That's her sidekick.
Your sidekick who's not here. And Mother Superior and Sister Becky. This is Drinking Habits at the Panada Theater at 7 o'clock. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 3:30 on Sunday. One more time, Becky, where are tickets available?
So you can get your tickets at Eve's Leaves or online at the Panada Theater, which is www.panida.org. So panada.org. And then also at the door, the night that you choose to come. That's Valentine's Day with your spouse. That's a good way to get your man out of the house, guys.
Excellent. Anything in closing you want to say about the play to encourage our listeners to come down to the Panada and support local theater?
If you miss it, you'll be really, really sorry.
And you'll be walking around town the next day with a ruler, smacking knuckles.
You may see me out with my habit on. Right. Yes.
I'd just be curious, Kate, knowing your personality and whatever, how often do you channel Mother Superior, like during the day over at the Chamber of Commerce and things like that? I'm sure, are your workers, co-workers sort of like, oh dear, she's into that mode again?
Yeah, but well, they probably don't call it Mother Superior, but,
Close, yeah, close. Yeah.
The similarities are there.
Jack and I want to think. Go ahead, Jack.
No, I was just wondering if her behavior has changed since she started, rehearsing the play. We can ask one of your coworkers about that next time she's in the radio station.
Yes, I walk around very straight-backed with my hands folded.
Yeah.
Nod my head.
Did you mention the other cast members who weren't able to make it tonight?
No, I did not. And thank you for letting me do that. So we have Sister Philomena, who is Amy Sherman, who is, again, physically a comic in all ways. And then we have Sally, our news reporter. That is Courtney Roberts. Paul is being our other news reporter, is being played by Corey Repass. Then we have George, Rob Lindener, and Father Chenille is Robert Moore. I think that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So eight cast members, all fantastic. And truly, I think this is one of the funniest things we've done at the Panada in a long time. And I agree, if their friends come and see it, they will be telling their other friends, you got to see this because it's so funny.
Just one other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on again is the fact that it is a family-friendly show. And that's really fun for me as a mom. My son is 10, and he's been helping me practice lines and run through the script and things like that. And so being able to include him and him being able to come to the show and things like that are
Means a lot, doesn't it?
And so I'm excited for people to be able to have something that they can share with their children, too.
And my 93-year-old mother-in-law. She'll be attending with some of her friends at Luther Park.
Oh, what fun. Right. And we do want to mention that if you're concerned about Thursday being a school night, it's also on Friday and Saturday. So go to panada.org to find out the time and where to get tickets. And do we dare wish multiple break legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the legs.
Go, walking down the steps here,
Not here, on stage.
On stage, absolutely. Have a great time. It seems like it's been a joy having you guys here in the radio station talking about
it. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, always. Absolutely. And because I want to start talking after this next song about the Oscar nominated shorts at the Panada this weekend. I am excited. But here is one of the great interpreters of Buddy Holly's songs, Linda Ronstadt, with a song that I love called It's So Easy, written by Buddy Holly, who was buried on this day in 1959. We've been doing a lot of nun stuff here, but before this song, The Singing Nun, that was Linda Ronstadt doing a version of It's So Easy, commemorating Buddy Holly's funeral on this date in 1959. And Dominique, The Singing Nun, I think it was made into a movie with Debbie Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sally Fields was
The Flying Nun
with a big habit.
And I don't think I've only seen little clips of that, but yeah, that was
it's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to thank director Becky Rivack, Kate McAllister, and Maddie Elliott and Maddie Elliott and Liz Iha, cast members of again Drinking Habits. That is next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Panada, 7 o'clock on 14th, 15th, and 16th, and 3:30, a matinee on the 17th. Support local theater, support Panada Theater. This is a great opportunity.
It really sounds fun.
It sounds like fun.
I like this one.
How can one? Let's begin with some upcoming events, and I'm going to stay with the Panada. I'm really excited. If you have not seen the Oscar-nominated shorts, this is a chance to see five films that have been nominated in each one of three categories: documentaries, animation, and live action. These will never see the light of day because they could range anywhere from 3 minutes to 35 minutes in length. And they just do not have a venue or an avenue with which you can see them. And this is a great opportunity. Have you ever caught any of them in the past, Jack?
Not at the Panada, I don't think. No.
Okay.
But I'd like to.
Well,
yeah.
I
this might be the time.
I go every year, and mainly because I volunteer at the Panada, but usually three out of five in each category, I walk away going, wow, people should see it. Tonight at 6:30, there'll be the documentaries, five documentaries nominated for their Oscar shorts. Tomorrow night, that would be Friday. At 5:30 is animation, and at 7:30, that would be live action. Then on Saturday, I think beginning at 1:30, 3:30, and 5:30 are all three of them. So they are different ones.
Yeah, at each showing.
At each showing. And let me tell you, if it's anything like my experience, I've been seeing them at the Panada for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Well worth seeing.
And each night has all five nominees?
Five nominations.
In the different categories?
In the different categories. So tonight is just the documentaries. Mm-hmm. So if you don't go tonight, you go tomorrow night, you'll catch animation and live action. And then on Saturday, you can get your full dose of all three back to back to back.
Yes. This sounds pretty good.
It is excellent.
Also going on tonight at McDuff's Beer Hall, we've got live music with Kevin Doran. There is a reader appreciation party. If you know and appreciate the Sandpoint Reader, well,
and who
then
who doesn't?
It's at Matchwood Brewing, 513 Oak Street, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Live music by Birds of Play. Everyone is welcome to come join the reader and help celebrate all its writers, advertisers, and readers. This is at Matchwood Brewing tonight, 5 to 10. Birds of Play, I don't know who that is. But
is that a new local group for you?
Could be. Could be a reconfiguration of...
Yeah, I was going to say, as the expert on local and regional music, do you find people shifting, changing bands, renaming?
Yes. Yeah, you see, anytime, locally anyway, you see, if you have a two-piece band and you add a third to it...
Change a name.
It gets a whole new name. Yeah. Anyway, we've also got going on tonight, open mic night at A&P's Bar and Grill from 8 to 11 with Casey Carter, no cover. That's a new venue, A&P's Bar and Grill. I mean, the bar's been there forever, but the as a musical venue, that's the first time I'm reading it.
This is a new, mm-hmm. new twist on that. I have tonight at the Human Connection, which is located at 2023 Sandpoint West Drive, just west of the Waldorf School and the Lighthouse YMCA off of Pine Street. You have, starting February 7th, that is tonight, 5 to 7, a weekly group of LGBTQ youth, friends, family, and allies. And if you want more information, you can call 208-265-5412 for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer youth, friends, family, and allies. It's mm-hmm. a discussion group, a way to find other people who are like-minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we interviewed him, Josh, the host, last week.
Josh, yeah. last week. Yes, we mm-hmm. did.
And a wonderful project that they're embarking on there.
I agree.
We have... This one's new to the current events page. I don't know if it's been going on for a while or if this is the first one, but there is a morning movie at the Sandpoint Library. Actually, I guess that's today. You can catch it at 11 a.m. in the Glass Children's Area.
Ooh, what's the movie?
Lilo and Stitch, the animated movie from... it's probably 10 or maybe even 15 years old now.
Does it say the target group for the audience?
This would have to be... children. It's a Disney movie from, okay. yeah, it's an animated cartoon. It doesn't say a specific age range, but if you know the movie, then you probably know what age kids are appropriate to it.
So that is sense. This morning at 11 o'clock at the library.
That's right.
And last week we had Marcy and Kimber on. Not Marcy Timlin, but Suzanne.
Right.
Suzanne mm-hmm. and Kimber. They do great things at the library, and they have a full schedule. And this is just one example of one of the many things that they do offer.
Here's another example. Infant Lapsit Rhyme Time.
Yes.
We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, it's today. You can go check it out. Meet other parents and share in free early language and development classes for infants and pre-walkers during Infant Lapsit Rhyme Time at 10 a.m. in the Sandpoint Library. So that's before the movie. 1407 Cedar Street, free and open to the public. For both of these, you can call 263-6930 for more information. Extension 1211 to be specific. The Alzheimer's Support Group is today at the Sandpoint Senior Center. That's 820 Main Street from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. for families, caregivers, and friends of those with Alzheimer's. Free respite care is available at the Daybreak Center next door. So this is a support group for the caretakers, family, and friends of those with Alzheimer's, not for the Alzheimer's sufferer or patient at the time. I don't know.
As someone who has... not somebody with Alzheimer's, but an aging parent. Let mm-hmm. me tell you, the caregivers need all the support in the world because they really are giving a lot of their time and themselves. So any way that the caregivers can be supported, no matter whether it be cancer services or Alzheimer's or an aging parent, make yourself available to that. It's important that you stay in a positive mode.
Yeah. Explore virtual reality.
Here
we go.
Yes,
have you gone yet?
I have
you
not. Have, yeah. I don't know if I'm ready yet for it.
This is another library event. This is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Contact the tech desk at that same number, 263-6930, but this time it's extension 1251. Every Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And you have to make an appointment?
You do reserve sessions to explore virtual reality. That's right.
I don't want to go solo, Jack. The reason why I don't want to go solo, because I think part of the joy would be seeing other people with those headsets on and their responses to what they're going through.
I'll go with you, but I'd want to bring a camera And I think we'd have to make it a sort of a KRFY event. We'd have to post the video.
Jack, we're radio. Yeah, we're radio.
I know.
They could hear a scream.
The coverage wouldn't be good on the radio, but we'll put it on the website. For children out in Clark Fork, at the Clark Fork Library, there's a special story time for babies and toddlers at 10:15 a.m. tomorrow, followed by 20 minutes of playtime. This is at the Clark Fork Library. Clark Fork Mother Goose is... on premises. Live music at the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow with Muffy and the Riff Hangers. Live music at the Winery with Doug Bond and Marty Perrin. And then there is a VFW membership appreciation event and live music at Matchwood Brewing, 513 Oak Street. That's 20% off beers and food for VFW members. Live music from Brian Jacobs on the 8th, tomorrow night. Live music at the Beer Hall with Ron Green, Justin Priest, and Brian Burke. That is the Green Trio from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And it is Contra Dance time once again. It's going to be cold on Friday night. You might want to warm up with a little Contra Dance down at the Sandpoint Community Hall from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. You are encouraged to show up on time if you are a beginner, so you can catch those early lessons. And it is held on the second Friday of every month.
And we're running out of time, so let me tell you, there is a whole slew of events heading into Valentine's Day and on Valentine's Day. So go to Sandpoint Online, and you can see a whole bunch of what's coming up this coming week. It's going to be a busy next week. We're going to have with us retired cardiologist Bruce Brad Huta. He's going to be talking about heart health, what you can do, and what better on Valentine's Day than, you know, being good to your heart.
That's right. Take care of that heart, that old ticker.
You bet. And Jack, you have a good week, and I'll see you next week.
See you next Thursday.
Absolutely.
And away we go with a
bird note.
It is bird note time. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.